Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, folks. Thank you for joining me this evening. My name is Mud Toe, and I'm glad that you've joined me this evening. I'm turning down that echo. You can't hear the echo on the radio thing, but I'm trying an experiment here where I got a microphone headset to record the thing that I put on Facebook. And there's a little bit of delay, so it was echoing back into my ears. It's messing me up. So I turned it off. And now I'm much happier. I'm a much happier person for having done that. So thank you for coming. This is The Midnight Garden. I am your host, Mudjo Sasquatch, and I'm hoping you will join me here between the banana peppers and something else. What goes good with banana peppers? I don't know. You don't grow cheese, do you? What do you grow? Tomatoes. We'll make it simple. Tomatoes. Banana peppers and tomatoes. Why not? It's like a sort of one of those a pizza sort of thing. Beginning is a pizza is where we're at today. So thank you so much once again for joining me. We'll get this out of the way right off the top. 13 days of sobriety, and thank you all for the expressions of support. I do appreciate that. And no more to be said about that this week. I was going to bring a reading, but I forgot to. I'm at my parents', and as you can see, the background. I am here at my parents', and I forgot to bring my blue book with me, so I don't have that. I could have gotten on the internet and done a little preparation, but hey, I didn't. That's okay. I will make sure I get some materials together and do some study. Maybe even find a meeting. Who knows? Who knows? You just never know. And again, as I said before, enough about that. I spent a lot of this week at a hospital. I have a friend, it's been a friend for quite a long time, who's suffering very greatly, and it's not something I experience a lot. I'm not suffering, but I'm experiencing the fact that my friend is suffering. It's, of course, not nearly as bad as what she's going through, but you see what I'm saying? It's not something that's something that, just stick with what I said originally, it's not something that I experience a lot, that of going to the hospital. I despise hospitals, for one thing. The energy there just doesn't agree with me, and a lot of people just rolled their eyes out there but there's the energy of a hospital is very heavy, because it's a lot of suffering going on. Not just the people who are sick, but the people who love them. And I find that impacts on me. So I said, hospital now. I will go. I've gone in the past. I remember having a couple different times when I was a real person and I was working and I had people working for me. When I had employees go to the hospital or go into the hospital, and I would go there and see them and talk to them, and that was an enriching experience for me, and they seemed to enjoy it. I was always glad that they also had other people visiting them, because that sort of took the onus off of me. I didn't feel like I had to stay like the whole evening if there were other people there, and then the room, notoriously small hospital rooms, or was getting too crowded. Then I could just step back, and say, see there's more people here who want to see you, feel better, and we'll see you back at work real soon. I'd done my duty and felt very good about it. And something, just reaching something towards something that one might call friendship. I don't believe that you can really be true friends with someone who works for you, or with someone that you work for, just because of that relationship, there's that distance is necessarily created within that experience. But it was an experience, sort of like a quasi-friendship experience. You're experiencing something out of that domain of work. It is when you run into somebody, like at the grocery store or whatever, outside of work, outside of where you usually see them. My experience has always been I don't recognize them right away. I know there was a waitress at the Moose Lodge where I used to hang out a lot when I lived in Youngstown, Ohio. And I saw her on the street. And, hi, how you doing? Hey, I'm doing okay. Well, you know, I had a like a 5-minute conversation with her. And she left, and I still had no idea who she was. No clue at all. And then when I saw her again the next time at the Moose Lodge, it finally did click, you know, who she was. And saw her. Another time, this was when I was working at the library book depository at my my large university in the Midwest. And a tour group came through. And someone, you know, picked me out. You know, as you're standing in our little workroom, we were doing our work, and somebody kept thinking, hey, how you doing? Hey, fine, going well here. How are you doing back at, you know, I knew where they were from. I said, so I know, how are you doing back, you know, there? And they said, okay. And again, I had a 5-minute conversation, and a person, they moved on, and the person working next to me said, you had no idea who that was, did you? I said, no, I didn't. Didn't have the first clue who it was. Don't to this day. Never ran into them again, or at least not knowingly. So there's that separation. You know, work environment, other environments, and it's at least for me, it's tough for my mind to make that transition. Okay, I'm at work, I'm going to see the work people, now I'm at church, I'm going to see the church people, now I'm at the library, I'm going to see the library people, now I'm at the Moose, I'm going to see the Moose people, I'm at McDonald's, I'm going to see the McDonald's people. I don't really have a lot of McDonald's people. My dad does. My dad is one of those guys who hangs out in the palace now, one of those old enough, let's say more experienced gentlemen who hangs out with his friends at McDonald's. That's fine. Gets him out of the house. Especially when the weather's too bad to golf. Dad is, my father's 81 years old and still golfs every opportunity he gets. So terrific. He also does Wii golf with his brother, who's in a nursing home upstate. He gets all that going too. Great. Good stuff. Love it. But I wonder, I mean, those are a lot of environments that he sort of transcends too. And his life, again, back when he was a real person, was very much built around work, much, much less so than mine was. I never, work was what I did to pay the bills. I there were some projects that I got quite a bit of satisfaction from. But I didn't feel they'd changed my life. I didn't feel I had learned something that was going to that I was going to carry with me. And then, you know, 50 years from now, I'm going to look back on it and say, that's something I'm really, really glad I did. I never really looked at anything I did like that. I guess when I was teaching, that might be close. I taught guys who were in teenage boys who were in drug rehab. And you didn't get those breakthrough moments very often because there weren't a lot of those young men who really wanted to be there, and much rather than someplace else. And school was not so, for the most part there were exceptions, but for the most part, school was not something they placed a lot of value on. They had promising careers in drug dealing waiting for them when they got out of juvenile detention. But every once in a while, and someone would come along, a young man came along, and I would, when new people would come to class, when a new young man would come to class, I'd try to gauge, you know, where they were and what their priorities might be and how I might approach them. In other words, is there some subject area they're interested in? And you use that as a way to get them to do some free writing, that kind of thing. And I had one young gentleman whose one goal, one desire was to be able to write a letter to his grandmother who had raised him. And he hadn't had a chance to speak to her before he came to the school. And he wanted very much for her to know that he appreciated her efforts on his part. But he simply didn't write well enough to be able to express that. And I guess maybe the normal thing would have been just to written the letter for him. And if there was some sort of, if the grandmother had been in the hospital, and there's some, there's some time pressure of getting this letter to her, I would have done that. But again, I wanted to use it as a way to motivate his learning. So I made it a project for him. Tell me one thing you'd like to say, and I'll give you some words and some phrases, and we'll practice writing them, and then we'll practice how to put them together, and then I'm gonna shift more and more. I'm not telling him all in one sitting. The idea was to start shifting more and more of it to him, so that I'm not dictating what's being said. He's deciding what to say and choosing the words, and I'm just helping him, spelling and grammar and whatever. And I'm very proud to say that over maybe 2 months, wasn't terribly long, he did reach the point where he could write to his grandmother without anything but as I said, small pointers from me. But he would write the letter for me, and I would go over it and make suggestions, and then he would write the second copy, and that's as far as we're taking. I wouldn't get terribly picky with it, but he can get better, and he got better, and he got better. For a period of months until he was transferred back to his home jurisdiction, and we weren't permitted to give our contact information to students. So unless they came back, or unless something happened with them again in the legal system, we had a few. I was there for 4 years, and we had three that I can remember reports of students who had died. A couple more, probably more, a few more, that who had done something. We got sent them to big boy jail, as they say. There was no more drug rehab, no more juvenile detention center. They committed some sort of felony that got them sent to do the real thing, and those are tragedies. And we, you pull out your hair, not really, but you sit down with my peers, and I had one person that I had taught a lot who ended up going to prison. I never had one who had died, but we would always sit when we get news like that. And we would try to remember the good things. It was no good to sit there and in recrimination and say, well, if we had done this, we had done that. Perhaps the outcome would have been better for this kid. Avoided that just because it was I don't want to say pointless. I mean, if there really was something that had gone wrong, you want to identify it and make sure it doesn't happen again. But I guess that was for another time. This initial time when we've just gotten the news is a time to sit down and reflect on the time that we had with this person and remember the good things. In particular, without going into too far into details, he got involved in a robbery with a firearm, and he shot someone and killed them, and that ended up that he was sent to prison because of that. My memory of him was of someone who had a rather fine sense of humor, and someone who was, although he was large in stature, he was often bullied by the other boys, and we often had to intervene in those kind of things, staff, And there were times when he would just sort of, he would lose his sense of humor over situations like that. But he wasn't the type that would become angry. He's the one who would go sit in the corner and not talk to anybody and let that stuff, kind of fester. And I don't know if that had anything to do, again, that we only have the sort of bare bones account. Again, he was involved in some sort of crime with a gun and ended up taking another life. Very sad things, obviously. I'm trying to let stuff like that back in. I've worked very hard since leaving teaching 10 years ago to put those kind of experiences behind me, except in a very general way of, you know, this is where I came from, and this is something I did. I mean, it's something that I did where I did my best to make a difference in a positive way. Much like when I went to Haiti, it's something I did to make a difference in a positive way. And I don't know how successful I was. Many people tell me I judge myself and my efforts too harshly. So maybe it was really better than I thought. Don't know. But more recently, I've tried to be more honest with myself about those experiences and what they were and what they might mean to me. I'm thinking about that because, as I started off with, I spent a good chunk of the week visiting in the hospital. A very good friend of mine, lady whom I've had feelings for. It didn't pan out. You know, I had feelings for her, but there really wasn't, you know, it wasn't going to go anywhere. And so I said, okay. I mean, I've been there before. And she's been away for a while, but now she's back, and she is really quite ill and in need of a lot of attention, medical attention. As I sit here saying this, I'm really hoping she's not watching this. I don't think she does. I don't even know if she's aware of the radio show. Perhaps I should have thought this out more before I do this, and I can probably say that about every one of these shows that I do. But too late now. I already started. I say I don't want to, you know, I'm careful about putting posts on the Facebook. And when I do a paid post on Facebook, I say, boy, she's really sick. You know, you don't want that to get back to her. It's pointless, one thing. The second thing is we want to keep her spirits up, keep her fighting. You know, she's has a lot of, she needs to rebuild her strength. And so that, because there's a number of procedures that need to be done, and they can't really be done in the state she is now. And she understands that. Nothing's being hidden from her. But I can understand where she's going through Facebook looking for inspiration, and she hears somebody talking about that. Might not be the greatest thing. Now, again, I haven't used your name, but still, if she were to see this through some random chance, she would know who I was talking about. I also forgot to message her goodnight this evening. I'm kind of kicking myself about that. I was coming out this way from work, and I realized I hadn't brought any of my computer or radio equipment with me. Normally I go, because work is on the way to my mother and father's house. So but I didn't have a computer, so I had to go back to my apartment. So I'm, you know, kicking myself about that, right? And driving, you know, back, gosh, I would have been back by now, and this and that. And it's raining, and I'm driving. It's taking longer than I think it should. I finally do get back to Mom and Dad's house, and I get all my stuff unpacked. I sit down and talk with my father for a while, and we're watching the playoff game on the TV, and then suddenly I realized it's 11 o'clock. I don't know. I mean, is that, I would think, well, I guess that's a total guess on my part, but it's late. And I would think, so we text her, and she, you know, she doesn't have to see it now. At the same time, what if her phone makes a big loud noise and wakes her up? You know, this is the thing. This is me. There's thousands of conflicts going through my brain all at once. Am I going to try and pick something out and make decisions out of all those things? Why do you, there's any kind of situation I have to deal with? I feel often overwhelmed and unable to deal with it. But I do feel good about the way I've dealt with this situation, because I went to see her, and I was the first one to get there that day. Both times I've gone to see her, I went to see her and spent an afternoon with her twice over the last 4 days. And I was first one to get there. So I'm on. You know, I have to be the entertainment. I have to, I guess, distract her. I was trying to think of a better word than distract, but I think that really does that does express it. And I want her to think about something other than the reason we're both there. And I was able to do that. I was able to make small talk, which is not something that comes natural to me. I was able to avoid negative subjects, which does not come easily to me. Able to focus on her and what she wanted to talk about, which does not come easily to me. So, overall, this experience so far, I give myself high marks. I think I'm doing okay. And that's not, I don't accept praise from other people very well. I accept praise from myself even less, not very well. You see, even worse, I don't know how you say it. It's probably one of those things you read about the core beliefs of the addicts, and we consider ourselves unworthy of love and unworthy of praise. And someone who praises us probably has an ulterior motive, including ourselves. It is nice to be able to let that go, if just for one day, or 2 days in this case, or just a couple of encounters. Yeah, at one time, and walk out of the room feeling good about what just happened, not second guessing what just happened. Ready and willing to come back. I won't be able to come back for a few days because I'm here. So here in the old hometown to celebrate my brother's birthday. But when I'm back, there will be time. And I will go back. And I hope we can talk more about, let's say, the old days. They aren't quite so old. It's very inspirational to me. She operated an art store, which was next door to Chief Iggy's restaurant. And unfortunately, she ended up losing that. But at the time, I mean, you talk about, call it risk-taking in a positive way, the kind of risk-taking I wish I could do without setting, for me to open up a heart shirt, my God, I mean, how many thousands of decisions are involved in that? And how many thousands of objections can I come up with for each decision? Have I kind of a square one? Been working, happened to walk into the pharmacy to pick up my prescription and saw that they had they were hiring and just inquired a bit about it. And it seemed like, a pretty immediate need. I'm not directly looking at the moment, but, I have to consider something that's very close, much closer to where I live than what I'm doing now at the shoe shop. And then, it's still technically retail, but you're selling medicine rather than shoes. I think that's kind of a step up the necessity ladder. So anyway, I just get more information on it, right? They gave me the website and the job code number for me to type in. So I went home and I did that. and the job code number doesn't exist. So I put in a help request with their tech service, and you know, like immediately I got the auto-generated, we have received your request, and we'll be acting as soon as possible to get your interest, answer your question, and haven't heard a thing about it. It's been almost a week. And look, do I want to move on this or not? I do want to move on it, but I'm stuck. How do I move on it? And I think what I do is I go back. The website does allow you to sort by location. I go back and apply for the things that do have a code number. And perhaps the thing works itself out that way. Maybe I just, the thing had just been posted and I just jumped too early and the code numbers haven't been on that. So that's certainly a possibility. I'm trying to embrace this whole, the fact that you do all job applications. I mean, this has been, everything's done over the internet now. I mean, this is one of those things where you just, it's a neighborhood drugstore, you know, about 5 minutes drive away from me. I could walk there. I could take it easily. The bus stop, too, I could take the bus easily. And it's just too great. But I can't just apply there. I got to go to the mothership out in space someplace, and clearly the mothership and the local militia are not on the same page. And it puts me in the middle. So, I mean, do I walk in there and say, hey, yeah, maybe I have to. Maybe have you filled that position yet? And I tried to talk about it on the website and find it on your website, and I couldn't find it. One wonders how that would go over, but you maybe at that point right now I'm going nowhere. I don't think I can do any worse than nowhere. So something will have to move. Something will move this weekend. I will do something. Commit to that. And you can hold me to it. I ask you to hold me to it. I ask you to hold me to that. I ask you to hold me to maintaining sobriety. I ask you to hold me to maintaining these contacts with my friend in the hospital, which seemed to be therapeutic to both her and to me. And leave it at that, I guess. But I can't, because I still got time left for the show. A couple more minutes left. Make sure I give you the full, don't want to cheat you. But I don't have to now, because you heard I got my 90-second warning, which means that's it. Means that I have time to thank you for listening once again. And again, I will report back on all of those points that I have listed, and hopefully have more interesting and stuff that hopefully resonates in some way. Again, my hope is that the words that I put out there find somebody who needs to hear them. It's really all I think of it, because you know, obviously it's useful for me too. But mostly, I want these words to land somewhere. So once again, thank you for listening, and please come back next week. Have a wonderful, good evening.